Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about using the stages in personal negotiations. Interesting stuff. We've talked about using it at work in all kinds of ways, and part of that is using it in your personal negotiations as well. And this is addressed in the book, The Connected Business, even though this is personal negotiations. So you can use the stages in your personal negotiations, in your business negotiations, in international peace deal making, whatever kind of negotiation you're doing. But today we're going to focus on personal negotiations. And these are by far the toughest because they're usually emotionally involved. So before we dive into that, quick shout out to new listeners in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for this connection. Thank you for joining us today. We're so excited to have you here. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, follow the link in the show notes and let me know what's going on in your world. So personal negotiations. This is a very, very interesting topic. So in every relationship, in every encounter, where you want something from someone, you are negotiating, whether you realize it or not. There is give and take. But what is given and what is taken is not always tangible, and it's not always obvious. So sometimes people agree to things that you didn't expect them to agree to. Or sometimes you expect to get what you wanted, but you don't. So here we're going to define a personal negotiation as one where you want something personal to you and they want something personal to them. You care deeply about the issue, or they care deeply about the issue. It's personal. This is different from a business negotiation or a negotiation where you don't really care what the outcome is. In terms of a business negotiation, I mean, you may care in terms of your career, but it may not be your asset that you're negotiating over, right? So personal is, it's either personal to you or it's personal to them. It is emotionally involved. Now, there are many good books on the art of negotiation, and I recommend reading them all. Then add in your new understanding of the stages that all humans experience. So in a negotiation, there are four specific stages to consider. Your dominant stage, yours. Your stage in the moment, their dominant stage, and their stage in the moment. Now, that is a lot to keep track of. And throughout all this discussion of using the stages at work in all kinds of different scenarios, rarely have I ever asked you to consider your stage. Interesting, huh? But it really comes into play here because you're going to be emotionally involved. You need to know where you're at. So it's a lot to keep track of, but it can be done. Now, I'm going to use the term partner here instead of opponent. Normally, when people talk about negotiations, they talk about your opponent. I don't like that term. I'm going to use the word partner because you will be working with them, not against them. You'll be working with them in the stages that they are experiencing, not against them. I'm going to say that again. You're not working against them. You're working with them. A good negotiation is a partnership of sorts. When it becomes more opposition than partnership is when negotiations break down. So we want everyone to feel like they won in the end. We want everyone, you and them, to feel like they got what they wanted. That they got a good deal, that it went well. So personal negotiations can be really short, really simple, and really loving, like a budget meeting between loving and respectful spouses. I know, you're like, budget meeting? Short, simple, and loving? Yes, it should be. If not, go read the money book and let's get that right. You can have a short, simple, loving discussion. What are we going to have for dinner? That's a negotiation. It's short, it's simple, it's loving. It might even be fun. It's still a negotiation and a personal one at that, because you care what the outcome is. But these are not the negotiations that mean business. So all the techniques that we discuss here could certainly be applied to divorce negotiations and other more deeply personal, non-business scenarios. But for now, we'll focus on the working world and those kinds of personal negotiations. So a personal negotiation in the business world could look like a salary negotiation with your boss or with a new company, negotiating a new remote work arrangement with your boss or with your manager, negotiating a solution with a problem employee, or mediating a solution between two employees who have a personal complaint with each other. So you see how emotionally involved these things can get, and yet they're happening at work. So step one is to understand your partner, your negotiation partner. What is your partner's dominant stage? What stage would they be in most of the time if they were not in this moment with you having to do this? If they were not in this larger situation that led to this negotiation, what is their stage then in this moment? What stage is this negotiation situation causing them to experience? Now, both of these stages matter. So, for example, suppose you have a problem employee who normally is in stage 5, wreaking havoc all over the office with political discussions and spreading anger and offense and generally disrupting productivity. When you, as their manager or even as their human resources representative, sit down with them to discuss the issue, they are likely to feel that their job is threatened. Well, you know, because it is. And in that moment, they will pull back to stage 3. I am my needs. They will be in survival mode. And you might think, that's good because then they'll listen. No, they really won't be listening. They'll just be assessing the threat and planning a job search for tonight. If you are their boss or their manager, you won't really feel threatened, but you will be stressed out. So you might be in stage 3 for this meeting. After all, you need this person to stop being a problem. Or you might be in stage 4, just concerned about your other team members and their need for peace and productivity. So no matter where you are, you need to meet them where they are. So step one is understanding where they are normally and where they are now. Once you understand the stages at play in this negotiation, you need to line that up with what you want. What do you want here? You have a goal in this negotiation. What is it? What is the goal? And what do they want here? So in our example of this problem employee and who's normally in stage 5, you want them to stop disrupting everyone and to stop spreading anger and offense. You want them to just do their job and leave the politics out of it. So we will assume that you've already tried the techniques from the earlier discussions that we've had about using the stages at work, especially the ones on dealing with problem employees. We're going to assume you already tried that and that those techniques are not giving you any permanent peace. And now you must take the direct approach. What does your negotiation partner want in that scenario? They're seeking something. There's a psychological reason why they roam the halls, spraying their ideology all over everyone. What is the end result that they subconsciously want from that? More importantly, how can you fill that need so that their roaming soapbox routine is no longer necessary? If you can't stop the source of the habit, can you reward the cessation of the habit instead? So those are two different things that you can look at. Why do they do that annoying thing that you're trying to get them to stop? Well, if you can cut off the reason they do it, maybe they won't do it. Or if you can reward them for not doing it, you can try that. So for example, they're likely seeking acceptance and validation for their viewpoint. Some coworkers agree with them, and that gives them that dopamine hit that they're looking for, that validation. But some people disagree with them, and that makes them continue to seek more validation. So if you can, in your negotiation, begin by offering them validation and acceptance, even if you don't agree with them. You will help to ease them out of stage three and can then help them into a more appropriate stage for your discussion. Now, you don't have to validate their politics specifically. You might just validate their skill set or their productivity or something else that you really like about them. Right? If you're trying to keep them as an employee, it's because they have something that they're good at, right? You have a reason to want to keep them around. So give them a little validation. Give them a little acceptance, a little validation. Start off that way because they're going to feel threatened and you need to get them out of stage three. You need to know, they need to know that they're not being threatened. So start by giving them some validation for whatever it is that they're really good at. And that's going to draw them out of stage three. And it kind of satisfies that need at the root of the issue. Then you might move them to stage four by focusing on coworker productivity issues. Their coworkers need quiet, or they need fewer interruptions, or politics is causing them to be less productive, so we need to not bring that up with these other coworkers, and so forth. Because stage five is this person's dominant stage, you might use that by focusing them now on their work ideology or your company ideology. So notice how we've given them something, validation and acceptance, before we asked for something. And we didn't ask for something while they were in stage three because we would not have gotten it. Stage four, others, is an ideal stage to ask for what you want on behalf of others, which could include on behalf of yourself. Now, as you imagine, different requests work best in different stages. So let's talk about kind of a guide for some common asks and the stage that you will want to guide your negotiation partner towards for the best result. Stage one, everything. This is a really great stage if your negotiation partner is in that stage. This is a good time to ask for small things. Simple and quick things. Nothing time-consuming, nothing complicated. Stage two, if they are in the stage two, which is experiences, it's a great time to ask for feedback from events or to have them sharing information from those events. Stage three, needs. The only thing you can really get out of them at this point is a list of their needs, their priorities. So that can be good for planning. Stage four, others. That's a great stage to ask for modified behavior that benefits somebody else. It's also a good stage to ask for donations and grants. Stage five, ideology. That's a great stage to ask for longer hours, harder work, difficult schedules, or risky behavior. Why would you be asking for risky behavior? I don't know. Maybe it's part of the job. certain types of construction job activities. So any other type of activity that carries any sort of risk, physical, mental, intellectual, financial, and so forth. Stage five is where you want to ask for that, because if you get people who are wrapped up in their ideology will do very, very risky things to support that. Stage six, live and let live, or passive ideology. This is a great stage. You want to ask people who are in stage six. This is where you can ask them to leave other people alone or to stop infighting within a team. Makes sense? Live and let live. Stage seven, questioning everything. This is a great stage to ask for innovation or policy changes, which can be incredibly hard to get from people who are focused on the ideology of the company or focused on needs, right? But if you can get them to the point of questioning, then policy changes might be in the cards. Stage eight, purpose. This is a great stage to ask for large-scale volunteerism, large-scale donations or grants. And then stage nine, consciousness. This is a great stage to ask for awareness campaigns. So let's take another example. Suppose that you want your boss to change a specific policy. Suppose your boss is normally stage six, live and let live. The fact that you're asking for a policy change suggests you need it for some reason. So you run the risk of being in stage three, needs, when you enter that meeting. That's not good. Never negotiate in stage three. Bad decisions are made in stage three. So first, put yourself into a better stage. Before the meeting, do the work to get yourself out of stage three and into stage seven. Why? Because that's where your boss will need to be to make policy changes, and that's where you will have to move them and meet them. Now, when you enter the meeting, spend a few minutes letting them chat, if they will, so you can see where they are. Whatever stage they begin with, you will need to walk them to stage seven. So refer to the techniques we've discussed before on how to do that. Once they're in stage seven, that is when you ask pointed questions about changing the particular policy you want to change. Your boss might point out some unintended consequences of such a policy change. And that's a valid point. Hopefully you did your homework and you've prepared ideas to mitigate those consequences. Now you're at a place where your boss is likely to maybe say yes now. Now, it might be that they bring up something you hadn't thought of. Then you need to go seriously consider it. So don't keep pushing for it just because you went in there to get it, when you might find out during that meeting and maybe it's not such a great idea. So not every negotiation is a win, but your understanding of the stages is just one more advantage that tips the negotiation in your favor. So let's review. There's a basic process here. Understand your partner. What is their dominant stage? What stage will they likely be in during this meeting? Help your negotiation partner into the ideal stage for your ask. This might include appropriate concessions, validation, evidence. It will definitely include a lot of questions needed to move them there. Then ask for what you want. And then get whatever actions you may need right then and there. Don't let it wait. Have them send that email, make that call, sign that contract right now, if possible. Why? Because this is only temporary. They didn't actually do the work to get into that stage on a permanent basis or a more permanent basis. All of this moving people about is very temporary. As soon as you leave the room, life will intervene and they will pop right back to the kind of stage where they might normally spend their time. So that's why you want to get that action right now. So lastly, thank and praise your negotiation partner. This makes them happy to negotiate with you again in the future. Ideally, everyone leaves feeling that they won, that something good has come out of it, that this was a pleasant and enjoyable experience. It can be, and it should be. So we're going to get out of this mindset of negotiation being adversarial and get into a mindset of negotiation as a partnership where you are helping each other to get what you need and what you want. And it can be a pleasant and enjoyable scenario. So keep in mind those stages. Keep both of you out of stage three. That's the really, really big one, because I don't care what you need, they're not going to give it to you when they're in stage three. And you're not going to make good choices when you're in stage three. So keep it smart, be well prepared, as always, and add this into your arsenal for personal negotiation. Thanks for joining me on this very unique and fun topic. Let me know how it goes for you. Follow the link in the show notes. Let me know how I can help. And as always, I'm wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.